as I wait, heart of God.
Hello, New Life, and welcome to our discussion on the growth group questions for Matthew 4, 12 through 25. It's that kind of funny little passage right after the temptation of Jesus and right before the Sermon on the Mount. We're introduced to the disciples. Jesus begins his own personal ministry. It's an important transition period in the book of Matthew, and I'm looking forward to getting into these questions.
Yes, we're looking at them under the title of following, because you will see Jesus is calling people to follow him, and doing so in and the response is in various different ways. But our first question is, again, we're suggesting that you use that method that we've been talking about, where you look for a light bulb and a question mark and an arrow, and then you share, which enables you to engage with the scripture yourself and actually enables you to, you know, pick up on anything that perhaps we haven't picked up in the questions.
And please feel free to be flexible with the way that you utilize this method in your group. Mm. Maybe you want to start the meeting off with this question and kind of really familiarize the group all over again with the passage as a whole. Maybe it works better for your group to kind of leave this question at the end as a catch-all for those subjects within the passage that maybe weren't covered by the questions.
We had one growth group leader who's actually sort of using it as a sort of method to get at each of the questions. So there's all sorts of different ways you can do it.
I don't quite understand that last one, but all for it.
So after that, our second question is entitled "The Purpose in Life." Have you ever asked yourself, "What is my purpose in life?" What's Jesus' answer to this question in Matthew 4:8-19? These words are worth memorizing. Try to do so. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. No two fishermen are the same. They have different boats, different nets, different targeted fish, different jobs on the boat, different ideal times to get out on the water. What type of fisherman has God called you to be?
Yeah, so we start this question off with a very universal thought, don't you think? What is my purpose in life? Everyone is asking this question, and the Bible has, well, it has honestly more than one really good answer to that. You can go, and I'd encourage you to do so, to the very first book of the Bible, where God tells the first man and woman to rule and reign over the creation in his image, and following his pattern of godly care for his creation. The very last chapter of our book of Matthew gives us a wonderful commission to make disciples. This is just another one of these answers here in Matthew chapter 4. Follow me, Jesus said, and guess what? You're going to be a fisherman. And in considering how I might phrase this question, the kind of emphasis is like, go, you should be a fisherman. Go make disciples. Go influence people. Come on, why aren't you doing this? But I think that if we phrase this question and we open it up and we think, well, we're all different, aren't we? And people are going to approach this whole idea of discipleship in different ways, and we have different giftings, and God has knit you together in an individual and unique way. I think it will allow for a really interesting conversation and maybe push more people in the group to service.
Yes, because God, Jesus says, and I think, you know, he's obviously playing on the fact that these are fishermen and you're going to be fishers of men, and that he's obviously using that. The disciples were very different people. There are lots of ways of being fishers of men, but it really does establish the ministry of the followers of Jesus as evangelistic outreach, people who would share the gospel with people, all sorts of different ways, all sorts of different contexts, but people, Jesus's ministry was to share the good news of the kingdom of heaven, and mm-hmm. that his followers would be much the same. And the second question talks about the way in which these guys respond to him as he walks by the Sea of Galilee. He said, how did the two sets of fishermen brothers respond to Jesus' call? When did they respond? How did they respond? What, by doing what two things? When you respond when Jesus calls you to do something, what effect does a delayed or no response have on your ability to hear God when he calls again? What good things might Jesus be asking you to leave behind in order to follow him more fully? And then it gives us Matthew 4:20 and then Matthew 4:22. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Immediately left the boat and their father and followed him.
You're stealing my thunder, Jonathan. That's what I was hoping to point out to you guys. Whenever you see patterns and repetitions in the text, light bulbs ought to be going off in your head and alarms and all kinds of crazy sirens, because that is an indicator of authorial intent. Matthew wants you to see that Simon and Andrew, James and John did the exact same thing when Jesus called them. We have three repeated words. Immediately, they left, and they followed him. So they respond to Jesus' call just as he makes it, and they leave behind their nets, their boats, and their father, in the case of James and John, and they follow after him. So we just invite you to think about the way that you respond to Jesus' call, maybe his initial call in your life, and maybe just his call throughout your day and your week when he asks you to do a specific thing. And do you respond, or do you say, maybe I'll do that later? And yeah, I think it's worth thinking about the kind of effect that constant delay and constant suppression has on one's ability to perceive calls from the Lord as well. I know that when I suppress that voice, I'm not in a healthy state.
It's very true. I mean, if you remember, when at the beginning of the gospel, we noticed Joseph's response to the way in which God called him. That Joseph, he showed a pattern of instantaneous obedience, and we see here all four of these guys obey the request to follow. They obey instantly. They come instantly. And I think, you know, so often we need to remind ourselves that that's what God calls us to do. He calls us to be instantaneous followers.
Yeah. And I think that, I mean, what's literally happening in this moment? Do these people have no idea who Jesus is? Have they never seen or heard of him before? It's just some random person on the side of the shore invites them to drop their nets and abandon their livelihood and their very own father and follow him? Or do they have some kind of idea as to who Jesus is? Because Jesus had been ministering and he had begun his itinerant preaching in their region. I am inclined to think that they knew who this Jesus was and what his mission was.
I'm pretty certain they did. I mean, Matthew seems to almost bring it he has several really abrupt transitions. And I think that if you read the beginning of the Gospel of John, you see a lot of Jesus's the phase of ministry before this.
Yeah.
And it's clear that these guys, at least some of these guys, were people who had said to Jesus, "Where do you live?" And he said, "Come and see." And therefore probably knew. Maybe they were even waiting for him to say, you know, "Will you follow me?" But I don't think that takes anything away from the instantaneous obedience.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not sure, looking at the whole of the sweep of Scripture, whether they, but when they say they left, they actually ceased to be fishermen. But clearly what happens is that Jesus becomes their absolute priority in the way they live their lives.
Yeah, definitely.
But a fourth question is about healing. And Matthew 4:23-24 summarizes Jesus' ministry as teaching, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing. Why was a healing a crucial element of Jesus' ministry? And what did these small tastes demonstrate about the nature of Jesus' coming kingdom? Do healings happen today? Have you or somebody you know experienced healing? Share these stories.
Yeah, let me just read for you that passage I allude to in Matthew 4, which begins a summary statement of Jesus' ministry before his great Sermon on the Mount. 4:23, and he went through all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, an important phrase, and healing. Now look at all of the different descriptors we have for the different ailments that are prevalent there in Galilee. He's healing every disease, every affliction among the people, and his fame spread. And they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, oppressed by demons, having seizures, paralytics. What an exhaustive list this is. And it says that he healed them all. Now, I think what Matthew's demonstrating is that Jesus' ministry as Messiah is something that is in both word and deed. So Matthew divides his gospel into five great words of Jesus, five great discourses. And we're about to hear the very first one, the Sermon on the Mount, 5-7. And then we're going to get a series of miracles in 8 and 9. And we're given a taste of both things as a summary of Jesus' call to people through speech and also his foretaste of the perfection of the future eschatological kingdom through healing various diseases, which I think is pointed out well in that Revelation passage we point to. And then there's some other neat things to consider too. And important questions about whether healing happens today. And I think that's well confirmed there in those passages. And I think it can be an encouraging thing to talk about various healings that we've experienced in our own lives as well.
Yes, I mean, I think that, and I think it's interesting, and if you're listening to this after the sermon, you'll have heard me say this. I think it's really interesting that the order that he puts those things in, there was a teaching. I mean, in some translations, it's proclaiming the good news is termed to be preaching. And healing. And in a sense, that addresses different groups of people because, you know, teaching is essentially to people who knew what they were talking about, and then preaching is often to people who really don't know what he's telling them, and then healing comes in to confirm all of that ministry. And it's really interesting that we have this. So I hope you're going to really enjoy discussing these things together and learning together as you do so.
And I can't wait to get to the Sermon on the Mount, coming to a podcast near you.
See you guys next week.
As I wait, heart of God.